Hey, folks, and welcome back to a QS cast. It's a lovely Saturday afternoon, which is obviously a great time for a QS cast. What better, right, Tarkan? What's going on?
Not much. Well, this is actually a Saturday night for. I'm getting sleepy, but yes, we're doing it. We're doing it, and we're doing it. I would say that the aftermath of this past week is still pretty intense.
It definitely is.
So I think most of this cast is going to the obvious with the unbannings, what we think is going to happen, and yada yada. And you know, of course, as many in Discord saw, Chaz and I are very much diametrically opposed as our opinions on what we think of this. So I'm sure we'll have a lovely time discussing that, Chaz.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the exact opposite ends of the spectrum on this.
Yep.
So, you know, Pete Casella, one of our writers, came on with me. We had a very quick cast. It'll be going up later today, folks. So to have like a nice little weekend treat, this will probably go up probably tomorrow or Monday. If I can get around to it Sunday, great. If not, it'll be Monday. You know, it's always released. These are always released to insiders first. Sometimes we leave some of the insiders, these podcasts, insiders only, but we had a lot of podcasts. So we had a lot to talk about, obviously. So we had a lot of podcasts because this is, and I said it when we sent the email out, Tarkan, we talked about it a little bit before the announcement happened. You were kind of dead set on something happening. I was dead set on something not happening. But it was, I would say, the most momentous decision in the modern, like, in the course of the modern format, you know, it's timeline. This was,
you know,
huge.
I think this is the biggest decision they've made for Magic in general, probably in recent. Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, introducing master sets and whatnot, I mean, this unbanning is so big, not just because of like the tournament scene, but you know, I mean, Jace is such an iconic card at this point. I mean, he's the greatest planeswalker that they've ever made. And I mean, you know, he's always played on kitchen table circles, but now you can take him to a tournament. I mean, I honestly can imagine a lot of people that would not have gone to a Grand Prix to play now thinking, hey, I can play Jace in my deck. Jace is so powerful. And I can see new people going to a modern Grand Prix just for something like this.
No.
I'm serious.
Okay, so
let's pull back and let's start with your opinion on this unbanning and my opinion. And by the way, real quick, just to say this, we're not going to go too much into like strategy and this and
right,
that. I really want us to avoid that. We'll make sure that we reel it all into financially, but I think it's important that we do state our opinions and make an argument, make our case for industry reasons as far as why we think that this is good and or bad.
Yeah. So this is going to be pretty much the big topic. We also have a couple little things towards the end. We're going to try to keep it like close to the you know, our normal podcast structure as we can. But this is a big one, and we're on opposite ends here because, okay, again, we're going to keep this as financially driven as possible, right? We're not going to get into the whole theory craft of deck building and all that stuff. While we're both players, I think that's best served for another time.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't think as a business, like, yes, we're a financially driven podcast. Wizards of the Coast is a business. They're owned by Hasbro. They are in it to make money. I get that. That all being said, they had as close to, you know, not less than a week ago, the closest thing you can have to a perfect format. It was near perfection. I mean, I'm talking like Ravnica, Kamigawa standard type stuff, like really booming. Like everyone was going in. There was like so many different archetypes. Any given archetype could take down a Pro Tour. This time it was Lantern Control. Next time it could have been humans. Next time it could have been another deck. There was so many. It was in a, it went through some rough patches. Don't get me wrong. But they had it at a point where it was near perfection. And I just don't think you messed that up. Like, that's what you should be promoting as your business. You can sell packs. You didn't, like, to me, you could have sold the packs just based on modern. Look at just this modern Pro Tour. Look how many archetypes there were. It was a diverse top 8. You had a GP immediately after. another wild deck took it down. Boggles. Like, what? Talk about a 180. Another diverse top eight. Modern was in a great spot. That's what you should be focusing on. I just think the timing of this, it was very telegraphed. If you look back through leading the you know, there was little breadcrumbs. Ha ha, yeah, okay. Like, you didn't think like we were gonna just sit back and okay, like you spoiled Jace in Masters 25 during a pro tour, a modern pro tour rather, or have you. And there's a Masters set coming up, you know, in a month. Oh, and you just happen to decide Jace is and Blood Braid are good enough to, you know, to unban right after a pro tour, and it was one of the best modern formats, you know, close to perfection you can have it. Like, okay, like, yeah, we didn't see, like, oh, so yeah, that's when you guys decide you want to come in. That's when you didn't have anything for months, but then right after a pro tour. One of the best pro tours, I covered it. I was there watching it for hours, 3 days, and it was great. A really great GP right after that, and that's when you decide to do this. It just, it was so like anticlimactic. It for you're arguing that it was like, oh, it's gonna bring in so many people. They should have been playing modern anyway. It's a great format. It was already, it's as close as perfect as you could get. If you're not playing modern now, you were never going to play modern. Oh, now all of a sudden, because you have to spend $600, you have to spend $600 on a playset of Jace, now all of a sudden you want to play modern? Like, come on. That's not – like, they're not brewing and making all these decks and building around Jace because, you know, Jace doesn't do that modern. You were already doing that. I mean, five-color humans was a deck that didn't just come around until, like, 2 months ago.
But what this does – listen, first of all, I'm going to say that I'm not disagreeing that modern wasn't in great shape. I'm not disagreeing that at all. I'm disagreeing that the unbans necessarily wrecked it and put it now in poor shape. I don't believe it did that. I think these unbans simply added to an already amazing format. I actually think modern is going to be even more interesting now. And again, theory crafting aside, I don't believe that Jace or BBE, Bloodbraid Elf, are going to warp the format so much that we suddenly have a bad format. I actually think these unbans did nothing but add a lot more interesting dynamics to the format. I still think you're going to have, as in all the diversity, yes, you're going to have to prepare for Jace, but my position is that Jace is no longer as oppressive as it used to be back when he was first banned. Neither is Bloodbraid Elf. And the decks that support those cards are not going to be overly dominant. Are they going to be good decks now? Is Jace a good Magic card? Clearly it's a good Magic card. But there's lots of good Magic cards out there today that do well combating Jace. So that is the position I stand in. I think this created tons of excitement. I think this created tons of excitement. And frankly, let's be honest, they needed tons of excitement for Masters 25. I do not believe that this decision was out of desperation to sell Masters 25. I think this was probably pre-calculated before the iconic Masters fiasco. And I think that I read the announcement. I think everything they said was on point. I don't think it was corporate fluff. I don't think it was a bunch of like wishy-washiness. I thought they're right. They were like, listen, when we banned Jace, it was a totally different environment. It was a totally different format. It was a totally different world. We have plenty of answers. They're not as good as they once were in the sense of being like hyper oppressive and just warping the format. I think that's 100% true. Time will tell.
Yeah, let me circle back real quick. I get it. And that is a good argument. Like, you can unban cards. Don't get me wrong. This is not what Bloodbraid. First of all, Jace was never banned while it was in modern. It was banned from the start. So let's just get that out of the way first. Bloodbraid was in the format and then banned. So I can see Bloodbraid, you know, coming back. You can't tell me, you know, and again, we're not trying to theory craft here, but it was definitely a decision for hype. That's what it was. It was to sell packs for Modern Masters 2015. You can argue any which way, but a card that was never banned and then re-unbanned It was banned from the start, so just randomly unbanning this definitely is going to throw a monkey wrench into the format. Whether it pans out or not, that remains to be seen. I get that. It's too early to tell. But you had a near-perfect format that you didn't need to change at all. So I know there was like a clamoring for unbans and unbans and unban this and let's try to unban that. But the format was nearly good without those cards anyway. So what's the point?
Okay,
what's
right,
the point
but
of
so
leaving them on there?
Because for exactly the reasons you outlined, a ton of hype. And I think that their justification that we get the upside of creating lots of hype for our product, we build a lot. Listen, I get excited. Honestly, like, I thought the format was great, but frankly, when they unbanned it, I suddenly was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, this is going to shake things up even more. This is going to be interesting. Like, I think you created a ton of excitement with what I believe is a minimal... I don't believe there's any concern, there's any real worry that suddenly Jace is going to be oppressive. Is it good? It's clearly
it still
good.
It still remains to be seen, though. We don't
yes,
have enough.
Right. That is conjecture. That's true. Now, do I believe that the decision was primarily a business decision? Yes, but I think they weighed that with a play decision, going, well, okay, doing this would be really beneficial for business. Are we going to mess things up severely if we do? It doesn't look like we will. So let's go ahead and get some upside. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
So, but let's just say in 6 months' time, it is messed up. Now what? Because to me, you don't mess with something that's nearly perfect, regardless if you still get some upside.
Come on.
But I get it. I get it. It's a business. I get you have to sell packs, but you could have sold packs based on Modern just being awesome. Modern was awesome. It was the best format. It went through some rough patches. Granted, there's obviously some, you know, Masters, you know, people kind of had their issues with the Master sets. I get all that, but you don't mess up. Modern was nearly perfect. You could have hyped on that alone. I get it. Like, oh, well, here's an X factor that, you know, there is some hype, but, you know, we'll just, you know, it'll probably not mess things up, but there is a small fraction, there is a small percentage that it's good, so let's just pull the trigger. I mean, come on, man. Iconic Masters was a disaster. I don't know when they decided to do this. To me, like, we were just talking before the cast, we were looking at, like, you know, someone mentioned some, like, niche card, I forget what it was called, some green card from, like, Dragons of Tarkir. I'm not really into it, but then we went to, like, another niche card because I brought up Jace's defeat and whatever. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, this has probably been planned for a while, but I don't know. It just seems like a really bad look when you have, like, it just was not informed. It, like, it just didn't, I don't know. I read it and it was just like, how can you have that, you know, that reasoning when you had like a pretty much perfect format? Like, it just seems like so random after all a big GP and a pro tour. It's like, well,
so let me ask you this.
It was planned from the start, meaning it didn't matter what happened at the pro tour or the GP at all. They were going to do it regardless. Now they have egg on their face. They're going to have serious egg on their face. Listen, I'm all for Wizards of the Coast. We have a financially driven podcast. You could hear it from me first. I don't like bellyaching on a lot of stuff. I do side with Wizards on a lot of the things. As stewards of the game, I think for 25 years, they've basically done nothing but promote this game, and they've done a good job overall, not taking any of that way. But it's not right. To me, I'm not behind this one.
But so let me ask you this. If in 6 months, let's just assume in 6 months the format is still healthy, right? Yeah, Jace is powerful, but it's healthy. Let me ask you, do you think it was a wrong decision for them to do? If we have a healthy format,
my biggest issue. I'm fine with the unbannings. I'm also fine with, you want to be completely honest, as you know, as much as you know, we want to talk about it, try not to talk about it from a games perspective. That's one thing. Just purely financial, I'm 100% okay with it. Like, I know I'm going on this big rant, but I'm totally fine with it. Because
we haven't even gotten into how much money
I mean, the market took a huge, you know, energy boost. I mean, this was huge for the modern market. It was huge for folks that are, you know, in the financial aspect of the game. So for me, I'm cool with that. Like, if you guys want to ban Jason Brubraid, fine, whatever. That's fine. Because there was a lot of fallout, not just Jace, but, like, for the last week, it was, like, the most busiest. I mean, it was stale for a while. I mean, we were even talking about, like, we were getting to the point where we were even questioning if modern can drive hype-driven sales anymore. I mean, it's like, yeah, with all these master sets and, like, you know, like, the cyclical nature of modern was all over the place now. We don't even, like, I don't even know if we had a cycle of, like, modern, you know, sales and hype anymore. It was, like, getting to that point. This just, like, completely just had, like, an energy boost right into the marketplace, and I'm fine with that. And I'm also fine with them unbanning the two cards, but come on. Like, it's just not cool. It's not cool to do this right before a master set. Like, yeah, there's a reprint.
Why is that not cool?
Because it's like, because no matter what you say,
I'm for Wizards and I'm all fine. I understand their business motivation. And now you're turning and saying it's not cool to unban a card right before they release it in a new set. That's why.
It's not. Because they've had a lot of good decisions, and this was just a boneheaded decision. It was like they're already walking back to From the Vault or the FNM promo stuff. They knew that was a complete disaster from the start. I could have told them that. I mean, that was awful. So, but you could have unbanned these cards after Modern Masters 20 or after Masters 25, because the only thing people are going to be talking about now is that you unbanned Jace to sell packs. That's all they're going to be talking about. And I get it. It's a business. They're in it to sell packs.
That is only if Jace is so bad that we get into a disaster situation. People are saying in the Discord where they have to reban him.
Well, I don't know.
If that happens, then yes. But you know what? I want to give them credit here, which I know I'm reticent to do, but I want to give them credit in thinking that they had at least enough foresight to say, okay, if this gets so bad and we're going to have to reban this card, we're in a really, really bad position as far as optics on our product. I think, because before any of this, before there was assumptions of, oh, like, they're doing this for business, I was like, listen, you know, you actually just Jace, you need to unban Jace and Bloodbraid Elf. We had a conversation that as long ago as I think last year, like halfway into last year, where it was like, you know what, they probably just unban Jace. It's not the same. I don't know. You're kind of stuck on this thing of like modern was so perfect, but now it's not. And it's like I don't know why you're so quick to assume that modern is suddenly completely warped by these cards. I don't think there's enough evidence to suggest that.
There isn't, but now there's not enough evidence to promote that it could still be good. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm stuck on that because you had it nearly perfect. So regardless if it could be a good change or a bad change, I mean, I'm with one of the insiders that, and I'm trying. We'll get to the comments in a second, but just risking, like, you unban it, just the risk of having to ban it again is just gonna look awful. Like, you don't know either way, so why don't you just leave it alone? Like, you know, you could have left it well enough alone. It was a good format in spite of not having those cards. Not because, you know, those cards could have been left on there, and obviously Modern can thrive on its own. There was no reason to do that. So to me, yes, okay, it's in the business to sell packs. I understand that. I'm also completely okay with selling, you know, Disrupting Shoal and $5 Dreadbores and, you know, all this other stuff. Like, obviously, there's a lot of ripple effects going on.
So you're okay with all that, but you're not
okay with it.
Unbanning cards that we yeah, believe are health, that we believe will not work before, yeah, to help support our product. That you don't agree with that.
Because I think they could have just used the fact that Modern was good as their selling point. I can disagree with them. Like, I get all that, but I can disagree on the timing. I can disagree on the timing because to me, it was all about the timing. You had a great pro tour, you had a GP, and this unban shows that regardless of what happened at the pro tour or the GP, you guys went into it all leading up to the pro tour. We're not going to have a change. We're not going to have a ban. We're not going to have an unban. We're not going to change the format. Okay, so you just really didn't care what was going to go on at the pro tour anyway. You were going to unban these cards no matter what. That's what you're telling me with this. And doubly, you're doing it to sell a master set because the last master set was a complete disaster.
I disagree with that. I disagree that that's why they.
It was though.
No. It was a disaster.
That's what I read it as. I mean, how else? The Pro Tour and a GP happened. It was diverse. It was a great format. Two totally different decks took it each event down, and you basically just unbanned two cards for the hell of it. Like,
so
you didn't care.
Let's go with your logic. Under your logic, Masters 25 was going to sell anyway. So you're telling me that when they did their financial analysis, Modern is great. So Masters 25 should sell. I mean, they obviously did the math and went, you know what? Like, an unban of Jays will help us sell this product while from what we can tell, not doing much to the format except making it ideally more interesting and more exciting. So, like, obviously there was a reason for them to do it at this time. It's very clear. And they did it because they felt it would help boost pack sales, right? So I don't think I think it's just like, honestly, I think it's icing on the cake. I really do. I think it's like, let's really make this release awesome. This is the 20th anniversary of Magic. Let's bring Jace back. All of this has a narrative behind support. I think it's cool. I was super stoked. I was stoked financially. I was stoked for the game. I thought the culture of the game, wow, cool. Like, Jace is back, right? There's an awesome narrative that goes along with it. I don't see this. And this all of this, come on, man. All of this is coming from literally the core of this is we're paranoid that Jace is going to warp Modern and we're going to be sitting here with two decks 6 months from now and it's going to be crap. I just don't think that's going to happen.
And that could still happen. That could still happen, though. And that's my thing. I don't potentially ruin, even if it's a small percentage. And granted, like, I could give you your argument. It'll probably not happen. Okay. It will probably not happen. I'm okay saying, like, in 6 months, everything will still be okay. Like, yeah, there'll be some Jace decks, but it's largely going to be okay. I'm okay with saying that, but it's just still felt like a really bad move just from the optics. Like, I'm okay with everything, and I know I'm going on, like, a rant here, and I know I'm, like, you know, kind of emotional about – not really emotional. I don't really care, but, like, I'm okay selling cards. Like, to me, I don't really care. But I just think from an optics view, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It's just all about – like, yeah, I get it's all about money, but sometimes, like, don't have it be so blatant. It doesn't have to be obvious. Like, you know – It just looked a little too obvious for me. It just looked like it to me, and I'm sure a lot of other folks. Like, yeah, I get it, and like they have to sell packs. I get all that. I'm gonna say that like until like ad nauseum, and I know like immediately.
Wait a minute, hold on. You're okay with that, and Jace, and you're also saying more than likely in 6 months we're gonna have some Jace decks, and yeah, Jace is cool, but it's not gonna be warping the format. Then it only makes it more interesting, right? It's just that much more interesting.
It's not more interesting because it was already interesting. It doesn't make it more interesting. It was already as interesting as you can get. So,
that's pretty cool.
But even if we, let's just say Modern, I'll just use just like random numbers here. Let's just say Modern was a 95 out of 100, right? In 6 months, let's just say still we go down to 90. It's still a 90, but it was still a net loss. Like, you know, like it could still be interesting, but you were at a 95 before you did this, right? Like, let's just say in 6 months, it's still fine, but like certain decks went away. Yeah, some replaced them, but certain decks went away. So for some folks, it'll be a net negative. And for some folks that want to pay, you know, and buy into Jace and play their Jace, you're basically, it's at worst, you're breaking even, but you had the downside of it really blowing up in your face.
But that's where the differences in our perspective stem from, in that I don't think the decks are going to go away because Jace is the format. I'm serious. I really think it's like so, I really think it's overblown. I think there's going to be decks with Jace and you're going to have these Miracles decks or whatever. I think they're just going to be new additions to the format. That's what I'm saying. I think this introduces, this helps certain decks, right? Yeah, maybe makes other decks weaker, but I don't think any deck is going to go away. Right, and it sounds like sounds like what you're saying. Right now, you know, before the unban, you could play any deck and have equal chance, and now we don't know if that's going to
be right. And that's all I'm saying is that because that is true, though. It's not like yes, both sides are true. That well, we don't know if it's going to mess it up, but you don't know if it also could mess it up. So you could have just the better decision to do was to like yes, there was upside, but the downside was a lot bigger. Like. In 6 months, like if this blows up in their face and they have to ban Jace, like that is going to be a lot worse than any upside that you could have had unbanning Jace. So I hope all the modern, I hope all the Masters 25 packs you sell are going to be worth it because if you have to unban it, and not saying that you're going to have to, but if you do, I hope it was worth it because you're going to have a big, big blow up in your face. And I just don't think it was worth it. I just don't think it was worth it. Like, yeah, Unbanned Bloodbraid, that was a card that could probably just come off anyway because you had that card in the format before. You banned it, but it was in the format before. Jace was an X factor because it was never in the format before. So I just don't – like, again, I get it. I get the arguments. Like, it's – like, I'm not like, just completely obtuse. I know the first thing everyone in the financial – the community, well, they gotta sell packs somehow. Yeah, I get that. Like, no one's not saying that. Like, I know they have to sell packs, but the way they do that is still can still have like not sit right with some people, right? Like, it, I get it that they have to make decisions. Just like, let's go back to the FNM announcement. There was a lot of people talking about, well, you know, not a lot of the FNM promos were good anyway, so just be happy with your crappy token that you get every Friday. Wow, they certainly ran that back really quickly, right? When no one went to FNM anymore and everyone was talking about the LGS is suffering. Well, why were they suffering? Because no one wanted to go in for a token. They didn't want to go in for a token. Okay, so obviously the upside of, well, we don't have to print FNM promos anymore. We don't have to have someone tracking the data and tracking the metagame to see if we can make not crappy token or not crappy FNM promos anymore. We don't have to do any of that. So here's just a poopy token. Well, they sure ran that back really quickly. And where was everyone in the financial community? Everyone, just in the community in general, there's a large population. Well, you know, the FNM promos didn't bring them in anyway. You know, good riddance. You know, they don't have to do it anymore. It was a failing system anyway. And here's your token. Well, I guess it didn't fail too hard because here we are again. Because maybe if you were printing Fatal Pushes the entire time and not just crap, you would have had a legitimate good you'd had a good way to give back to the players this entire time. Just like I complained that they got rid of the player rewards. They never brought that back. So my whole thing about the whole FNM thing was you got rid of the player rewards. Now you're getting rid of the FNM promos. So what's there to incentivize?
Guillaume, I hope you're noting that 6 month timeline where I would like that to be noted as I told you so for either Chaz or myself. Somebody's going to be saying, I told you.
But the thing is, it's like, we have to reevaluate this almost every for as long as Jace is in the format now, because it's like any other card. Because as long as Jace is in the format, it's not to the point of Stoneforge Mystic, I don't think. Where you basically have to change your design for every. If you had Stoneforge Mystic unbanned, you basically have to make every future equipment just bad. So yeah. It never works. Wait, you can't ever have anything near Batterskull. Can't have any card anywhere near Batterskull. I get that. It's not like that point to that like caliber, but you still have Jace in the format and every card. Wait, what if there's another card way? Snapcaster Mage. Every card that just makes Jace more and more powerful, more and more powerful, more and more powerful. So as we go along and the power creep, you know, continues to go on and Jace is suddenly good again. I mean, does it still hurt Sting as much as like, let's just say in Jace the Mind Sculptor has to get banned in like a year or 2 years. Let's just say in 2 years it has to get banned. Probably won't sting as much, but it's still going to be pretty bad when you look back on when they unban this card just to sell some packs. I mean, come on. It's just bad timing. They probably could have just literally done this right after Masters 25, and I bet you everyone would have still been fine with it. I'd still be fine with it. I'm okay with it. But it just probably, the optics wouldn't have been as bad. That you're literally just doing this. You didn't care what was going to happen about the Pro Tour. You didn't care about the GP. And Masters 25 is around. Your last Master set, Iconic Masters, was, you know, we'll just call it what it is, a failure. And, you know, you basically it was pretty much a failure. Let's just call it what it is.
You can't say failure. No, you can't necessarily. It's pretty much sold through. So you can't really call it a failure.
Okay, well, it was mostly a failure. And
it was an SRP failure, but it wasn't a.
All right.
It wasn't a business failure.
It did its job for what a master set is supposed to do. I think it was a success in. You're right. It definitely was a success in what a master set is supposed to do is drive down the price.
Right. Was it a bad master set? Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that's fine. But You basically, you just didn't care. Like, you didn't care what happened at the Pro Tour. You just injected two cards that were, like, what, pretty much an X Factor. Bloodbraid, a little less so, because that was in the format before. But into a nearly perfect meta, and you're like, eh, well, let's just see what happens. Yeah, probably nothing will come of it. I could grant you that argument, but I just still don't think you do it. I just don't think you do it. I'm not going to agree on this one. I just don't think the optics were good on Wizards. And I listen, go back to through a lot of the podcasts that we do, Tarkan. Tark, you know, I'm with Wizards on a lot they do. A lot of people give them undeserved hate and vitriol for no reason for 25 years. They've largely kept this game afloat and they've largely done a lot of good things. Card games do not last this long. We've seen a lot of card games come and go, but I'm not with them on this one. And that's because I just thought Modern was like, you know, nearly as perfect. And that's what people are vying for, dude. Like, that's what everyone's problem is with Standard, and Legacy went away and no one could play that anymore. It's not like no one's even covering that anymore. So all we have left is Modern, and we just want some semblance of, like, especially me for playing the game a long time and not to try to get into theory crafting, but like just some semblance of like Ravnica Kamigawa or Return to Ravnica Innistrad. Those were fun times. That was pretty much Modern. Like, I just, you don't mess with that. They messed it enough. Don't you see what all these bannings and stuff do to Standard? Standard's a complete wreck right now. I don't know.
Listen, Chaz, I don't think the optics on this were bad. All right. I think it was, I was personally completely excited. My reaction was completely different, which is very interesting because, you know, we tend to agree on majority of things, but on this one, my whole response to the entire event was I was excited for it, thought it made sense. Did I think it was quote-unquote shrewd? I don't want to say shrewd, that's a harsh word, but yeah, I think there was a clear business motivation, but I don't think that detracted from any of the core game motivation. I just don't think it did. I think it's exciting. I'm stoked, man. I think it's part of this whole – I think it goes into the whole overarching strategy of, like, 25th anniversary. Let's just really do – really big things. Make it a big event. I think it was. I think it was a big event. You know, and I don't think it was a negative one. I think it was okay. But we should. We should talk about money stuff because a lot of ranting, and a lot of people.
No, we did. We did. No, we did. And I can end it on this. Regardless, you know, I can have my feelings on it, and like obviously I rant and it's funny and whatever, and I'm fired up and I don't mind. But at the end of the day, For us folks that are tuned into the, like, tapped into the financial market or, you know, the financial side of the game, and for the market, it was a huge boon. I mean, it was pretty stagnant. I mean, we had what, maybe one card? Like, it was a Modern Pro Tour, and it was a pretty quiet Pro Tour, like, all things considered. Like, there was a couple things, but still, it was overall pretty quiet for a Pro Tour, I'd say. But,
I was shocked. Wow, we've had no, I mean, I don't know buyouts, but we've had no buying activity post Pro Tour.
This happened,
and oof, man. I mean,
yeah,
the Discord almost broke. Monday.
I mean, bio, you know, you are right. It was definitely better than most Pro Tours, but again, it was a Modern Pro Tour. A lot of the Pro Tour, I mean, it was the first Modern Pro Tour in a while. They're all Standard Pro Tours, and Standard has not been that good. Let's just call it what it is. It's just not been good at all. And there was not a lot of faith buying into, even with a Pro Tour deck winning, there was still a lot of hesitation because there was a lot of bans. And, you know, but even with, yeah, this Modern Pro Tour was better, but this completely blew anything out of the water, probably like the past year. I mean, I can't remember a more like crazy time in the market. There's definitely been some hype periods. Don't get me wrong, like the whole reserve list thing, that was kind of crazy. But
I want to give props to David Schumann, who's one of our writers who came in the unbanned, unprompted. He just jumped in and was, you know, working, you know, talking to everybody in Discord, throwing out suggestions. Yeah. He was the Discord that morning was amazing. I mean, it was flooded with information, but I think collectively this group
made some of the best decisions. Clearly, everybody was on Miracles, which might seem obvious to a lot of people, but obviously the Discord, everyone collectively kind of agreed that that was a good place to start. I think the group think, as far as the approach, I know I stated it, but a lot of others was like, hey guys, let's look at support cards, let's look at the cards that are around these unbanned.
Yeah.
Don't buy Jaces. Everybody sold Jaces, by the way, which is awesome. My gosh, like Chaz, you sold, I mean, I don't know how many people sold like $600 play sets of Jaces. Crazy.
Oh yeah, it was insane. I mean, I was in the Discord. I literally like, it was a funny story. I even told it like that day. Like I ran home. out of there. I was like, listen, I got here right as like the frenzy started, and because it was kind of like in the middle, like towards the middle, like I was done, and it was like kind of at the cusp at the end of it. And I got home. If you weren't in Discord, like you like in the QS Insider Discord, you literally probably came back to like 500 messages or more. I mean, it was crazy. So
oh, yeah.
Like I said, there's definitely been some hype periods, but this was like a huge boon into the market. And I get all that. So from that perspective, I'm totally fine with it because, I mean, people were selling $150 Jaces like consistently all day, of the day, that day. I mean, I know they tapered off a little bit, but it was insane. I mean, people were buying.
Yeah, even Sig, if I recall, Sig got in and I think he bought like a set. Like 75 from ABO. As soon as ABO gives me my tracking number, I'm posting these things online.
And he did, and they sold it for like 140, 150 bucks, like easy.
Yeah.
And right then, right at the announcement, and people were, we talked about it on the podcast. We really weren't sure. I still can't believe they did it, but. Right as it happened, and people, kudos to people who bought in before, because we had that kind of little crazy scare. It wasn't really a scare, but it was kind of like unconfirmed kind of thing. And it ended up being false anyway, because it was like, and Snaring Bridge was banned too. So it was a hoax, but I mean, people were buying in like $60 Jaces immediately and like right before, and were selling through Jaces like literally all day. And I got to commend, I mean, the Insider Discord really came together. I mean, we talked about basically all the stuff in the aftermath.
Cards. And I think what's great was, I mean, Chaz did an awesome Insider email that I think hit, I mean, you pretty much hit the primary targets. I think most of those hit pretty well. It was the primary Miracles targets, which like Entreat and Terminus. I don't know about Bonfire or not.
Treat, Terminus, we did say Bonfire, but we did talk about Disrupting Shoal, Dreadbore. Essentially like a majority of the cards that we did come together and talk about, and I ended up just highlighting that all in an email. It wasn't just, but I took all that information that we talked about and kind of just sent that out. But a lot of the cards that we did talk about ended up in the movers, in the days after. So, Thing in the Ice, that was a really good one too. That one started to creep up as well. A lot of the cards that we talked about, it's definitely, and especially Disrupting Shoal. I mean, it was kind of like weird. I was like, you know, people have talked about this card before. There was a tweet by Corey Burkhart in the past, and he knows what he's talking about. But and people kind of were thinking about it, and like, nah, it's probably not going to happen. But it's there's still some big upside here because there is some buzz and. People have talked about it before, and lo and behold, it took off. So, but everyone kind of really pitched in, and that's really what the Discord is for. And I mean, you really just it's unmatched. I mean, this community in this Discord is really just unmatched. I mean, when stuff like that happens, I mean, if you're in here and you're amongst this community, I mean, good things happen. I mean, and that's really that again. That's for me the huge benefit. I really don't care at the end of the day. Like, but ban it, don't ban it. I don't really care. Unban it. But it was definitely a huge energy boost to the market for sure.
I think it's a good segue to kind of like move more of the finance stuff of the cast. I think obviously there were the clear winners, and seems to be the one as far as speculative buys that's seen the most movement. I think. You know, Intrigue and Terminus, those were pretty high in market numbers on interest. I don't know if you where you're at. We've seen Saffron Olive. He went crazy with the Miracles deck with Jace in like a super league. But has there been evidence? And there's, by the way, there is a open today, however, it does not feature, I don't think Jays is allowed, right?
It's still the old format. That was kind of one of the unfortunate things that happened. This is basically like a dead format event this weekend, so really largely nothing to pay attention to. We did have, and I think they'll be posting either, they might post it today, I don't know, but we did have at least one set of 5-0 lists from MTGO. And they're publishing more 5-0 lists. So we got a pretty good range of what's going on, at least very, you know, immediately early on. And there's definitely some Jaces. There's definitely some non-interactive decks. There's definitely some aggro decks. So we got kind of a little bit of a spectrum of everything. But it does seem that they are pairing Jace with just the overall, like, control stuff. Disrupting Shoal did show up, so that's kind of what pushed the latest kind of demand for Disrupting Shoal. Saw that in the 5-0 results. We're seeing very aggressive decks with Bloodraid Elf. I believe Corbin, it was brought to my attention. So Corbin had an article about, it was an aggressive like Eldrazi list. I did see that kind of incorporate Bloodbraid Elf. So you got Bloodbraid Elf, Eldrazi Obligator, Matter Reshaper, Reality Smasher, that kind of whole thing. Mm-hmm. So you got Jace the Mind Sculptor in a few different variety of decks. Some in Scapeshift. You had an Infect list. You had the Bedlam Reveler list. You had a whole bunch of different things so far, which was kind of interesting. You had a thing in the ice list, kind of a Kiln Fiend combo deck list with Disrupting Shoal. So very hyper aggressive, very non-interactive decks to kind of combat Jace. That kind of seems like the first place folks will go, and some, you know, other stuff in between.
Yeah, so I mean, speaking to Jace itself, I mean, obviously, you know, nobody should be buying Jace right now. It's getting reprinted, right? So yeah, you should
we
not
know
you
that
should,
for
if
a
you're
fact.
Gonna play if you want to play with Jace, well, you probably made your profits and you need to wait until the reprints come out. I actually think Jace is probably going to settle back down into around, I think you're going to get lows of around $80, $80 to $85. I think you're going to be able to find Jace. And probably the bigger stores, it's going to drop down and lock in at around $100. Jace is probably going to be a $100 card moving forward for as far as like the primary retailers and places like TCG and the smaller sellers. I think you'll be able to get Jace's for $80 to $85 once the reprint hits.
Yeah, I think that's probably low 70s, high 60s, probably very early on. And then it'll probably, you'll probably be able to find some deals very early on. And then it'll probably settle back up into the mid 70s, probably low 80s.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where I think it'll go. Probably very early. I would try to find some deals. You might be able to find them like once everything is kind of being opened and everything. You could probably find, you know, folks getting rid of them for like 60, 65. So like pretty much pre-reprint prices just to get rid of them if they're not using them. But I think that will trend back up into the low 80s, high 70s. We saw that even with some Iconic Masters cards. I mean, you had like, I know at least on some of the social, like Facebook, like some of the social outlets, like Facebook and stuff. I don't know about retailers, but I saw folks like selling even like Ancestral Visions for like $10. And then that slowly increased. And then obviously Jace got unbanned, so it's increased now again. So,
yeah, I mean, I would also not be picking up Bloodred Elf. I expect Bloodred Elf.
Oh, no.
Set as well. M25, so just wait for that. Also, very important to note, Eternal Masters boxes, while there hasn't been a huge jump, they did go up to about $215 to $230 already. So I would absolutely anticipate that if you've got Eternal Masters boxes, hold on to them. Those things are going to now be on their way, slowly creeping up. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually, I'm not going to be aggressive, I would say at least 1 to 2 years, we're going to have $300 Eternal Master boxes. Assuming if we still have a Jace in the format, then I would say you're going to end up with $300 Eternal Master boxes. I would say within 24 months is my call. But they're going to go up. They're going to continue to go up, and they're harder and harder to find. So even with that, you know, that old, you know, reprint that they did, but the re-release. So yeah, I mean, it's all kind of crazy. Masters 5 is coming, since we're on that topic, and a lot of people are saying it's gonna be pretty big. I agree. I mean, I think they're throwing the whole kitchen sink into this set, man. I think it's gonna be pretty amazing. You know, I would say you need to stem your buying from non-reserve list, non-standard, like anything in modern. Just wait, because I suspect anything and everything is going to get reprinted in the set. That's good. I know I had, I was on the Noble Hierarch train, but with everything that's happened and how much hype they're pushing this set, I highly suspect Noble Hierarch to be in this set. There is that call. But if it's not, I think
whatever's not in here is fair game.
I think there are some interesting listeners.
Pretty aggressive.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I expect Scape Shift to be in this. I would still be surprised, because remember they do design these sets with draft in mind. I don't know if we're going to get suspend in this. It's possible, but if we don't, I think Living End is a really, really spicy one. I think that is I think that is a staple that might dodge the reprint. It has a higher probability of dodging. I think that Through the Breach, Scorios, I think all the like hard staples from most of these tier one decks are going to get hit, especially the ones that haven't been reprinted. But I don't know. There's something about Living End. It's such a it's so unique. I think that one, and I think that's pretty spicy too. If it doesn't get reprinted, I think the foils are going to be $100, and I think the non-foils probably can get up to $50. I think it's just, that card is so old at this point and just continues to dodge reprints. So it just really depends on if they decide to throw a suspend in there. I mean, there's a lot of good cards they could reprint if they do. So again, be wary, but that's one to keep your eye on, I think. Do you have any, like, what are you thinking as far as just in general, your thoughts on Masters 25? Chat.
Yeah, so it's all really contingent on Masters 25, and I'm just gonna reiterate some of the stuff that Pete and I talked about on a flashcast, which it's going up today. So, but the Gaddock Teagues, the ancillary cards. I even think like Disrupting Shoal. I think a lot of the cards that are the immediate go-to, like to combat Jace or work well with like Bloodbraid and Jace, will likely be in the set. Firstly, I think Bloodbraid Elf is undoubtedly in the set. Secondly, I think some of the cards like maybe even Terminus and Treat the Angels, you'll have Disrupting Shoal. You'll have like I think Gaddock Teague. Like, I think those are pretty high on the tier of being reprinted. But if they're not reprinted, like a Gaddock Teague, that kind of card would be something I very much look to pick up, because they got up to like $30. I don't even really remember why. It just like got up to $30. It does have that Judge promo printing now, but I think that largely does. But it's those kind of cards, like Gaddock would definitely be a card I look at. But I think a lot of the high, the cards that kind of work well or against either of those cards are going to be up there. And I just think the cards that haven't been reprinted in a long time are definitely high up there. Like you said, some of them are still kind of hard to reprint. So we'll see, but there are going to be some things that slip through the crack.
Yep. 100%. I mean, Infect, of course, more than likely won't be in there. So
for sure. I honestly don't even think Tarmogoyf is going to be in there.
I think Tarmogoyf is going to be in there.
You think so? Yeah.
I think so.
That's probably good.
I think the marquee cards. It was not an Iconic Masters.
No. Oh, so it's probably in this one. Yeah. I keep forgetting that. Yeah. I mean, just some of that random stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. Like I said, the suspend stuff, the Augurs of Infect. I think, they just don't like, reprinting Infect stuff. So I don't believe Infect is going to be in there. So, yeah, that said, I do believe that it's stacked. I guess I'm using the unban as an impetus to say that, okay, it's clear that they're really driving tons of hype for this just 25th anniversary in general. So I would say that, this one's going to be a big one. I also think that means that, these pre-orders that have been really, like those $150 pre-orders that were around, I think those were great deals. I wouldn't be buying at 200, but man, I mean, honestly, if you're getting them at 160, 170, that might not be a bad buy, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that it's going to be so loaded that these boxes could could have some significant value. I mean, we might even see, listen, as soon as spoilers hit, if you've noticed, they've been super tight-lipped about spoilers with this one, you know, because the debacle that happened last time. So I think they're doing that strategically because there's so much in set. I mean, you might see boxes, you know, on full spoil at like 250 plus, pushing 285, you know, who knows? I mean, when the hype train starts, I mean, the box prices can be really high. So while I don't think you should buy 200, I think 160, 170 is probably a pretty good pickup. Do you agree, Chaz, or?
Boxes?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them. What were they going for? Like, I saw some really good deals on them. If they're like, I don't know if they're like early bird specials or what, but I don't know. I mean, if you can get them at the prices that you just stated, I guess that's okay. Because they're going to sell pretty well. I mean, I don't think you're going to have a problem selling these.
Not at all. No. I think these are going to do really well. So, yeah, it's Masters.
I mean, we already have Azusa, Jace, Phyrexian Obliterator. I mean, those are some pretty good cards already.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, considering the thought is across generally, this is one that I don't think there's going to be fetch lands. But other than that, I think, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Liliana again. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tarmogoyf again. So, you know, there's going to be heavy hitters in it. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it with Masters 25. You know, curb your buying on modern stuff. Keep your eye on the really, really, really kind of quirky ones, something like Living End, Infect, etc. But, I mean, I would just be wary. And, of course, as usual, you know, what doesn't get reprinted, sky's the limit, especially right after spoilers. So, I don't know. Chaz, do you have anything else for Masters 25?
No, not really. It basically just, I mean, it's a wait and see now. Spoilers were probably, I mean, it feels like literally like right around the corner again. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's see what.
Really quickly, we did have a pretty, I was going to, you know, write up a quick article on this. This will probably go up Monday as well. Just kind of recapping. Just like in the wake of everything, it was so crazy. But we had another kind of big information dump this was on so the 14th. This was on Wednesday. It was on Valentine's Day. We had a kind of a information dump on a lot of new product.
Yep.
So just to go through really quickly. So they're doing away with the From the Vault series. They are replacing them with a MSRP. You know, these are at $19.99. They are signature spell books, and they are going to be centered around a planeswalker, and so one premium foil and cards that fit with the planeswalker's identity. So 8 cards, and that'll be at $20.
So does that mean that it's going to be a From the Vault foiling? So
it's pretty much like it's pretty much like a From the Vault planeswalker.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's like $20, and it's around one specific planeswalker. They are coming out with a app, so it's a counter app. It also like updates you on articles and announcements and stuff like that. So it's like kind of an official Magic the Gathering app. They released their conspiracy set for the year. It's called Battle Bond, and it will be focused on Two-Headed Giant. And it's like a draft format, but it's mostly focused on Two-Headed Giant. There's a Commander Anthology 2, Commander 2018.
Hang on real quick, Chaz, to Battle Bond.
Yeah.
Didn't they state in the announcement that it was going to be a place where they can reprint legacy staples or print new legacy cards? Or was that an assumption that came out of?
So let me pull this up really quickly. I don't want to keep people too long. I apologize. So Gavin you know, kind of posted a little blurb, a little article, mini article on this. I think they're trying to introduce some new cards, right? So it's like Conspiracy. It's a mix of reprints and new cards. 254 unique cards in total. 85 are brand new, and they will immediately be legal and vintage, and the rest are reprints. So pretty much no holds barred on this. Anything's on the table. in terms of reprints.
So new reprints.
of reprints. 85 out of the 254 are new, but the rest are reprints. So that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot of reprints.
Yeah. and the last little thing is they're coming out with Chinese market specific planeswalker decks, but so they're going to be created particularly for China, but there's going to be a similar English version of the same product created for international audience.
I'm really excited about that. That takes me back to Portal and typically these regional products are usually super limited. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was another unstable situation where it's very, very limited. Honestly, out of everything that was announced, that got me the most excited. I think that is going to be a very, very important product to pay attention to, especially financially. I would be surprised if there's a lot of movement on that early on.
Yeah.
The people that like the Portal sets are typically people that are, I mean, that's a pretty high dollar, you know, old set. And the collectors that like that stuff really like it. So I'm sure that within that kind of niche community, there's going to be buzz around this. So I would be paying attention to that. I think that one's going to be really, really interesting. And I think there's probably a lot of opportunity in that one. So
yeah, it's definitely tapping into a really great market. I like the fact that they will give folks an opportunity outside of the Chinese market, you know, a crack at this to try and purchase these. But I do think it's going to be a successful, this is kind of a good successful venture into this market. And, you know, like, you know, a lot of folks actually brought this up, you know, actually, you know, Cardbreaker actually brings this up right now in the chat, but this was also brought up when we talked about it back on Wednesday. Yes, this absolutely seemed like a good place, to insert some of these, P3K cards.
Yep. 100%.
You know, maybe not some of the higher end ones like Imperial Seal and stuff, but since they are, these do kind of seem just like Planeswalker decks. Like you kind of have to like expect like there is going to be a ceiling on this kind of stuff. But certainly cards like what's the Rampant Growth? I should know this. Three Wishes? No.
Right.
No.
What is it? I don't remember it.
Oh, damn. I should know this. It's a green card. But yeah, some low stuff like that. That's just,
yeah,
I mean, they're like $25.
These are good. Yeah, these ones that they're good at.
Overwhelming
they're
Forces, Jihad, Dune. Yeah,
Dune,
and
for sure.
there's nothing crazy about these cards other than they're just scarce. I mean, even like the green Rampant Growth, it's a Rampant Growth, but it's just a different card. So, and it's scarce, so it's a, you know, like $25, you know, $30. Yeah, I do think that's a good chance for them to insert some of these cards or new cards. I don't know.
I think there's gonna be new cards. I don't think it's gonna be just a reprint set. Although I do expect reprints to be in there. I think there's gonna be a lot of cool new stuff. So, very exciting. Some cool stuff. Obviously, new Commander, which is gonna be great. They've been knocking it out of the park with the Commander set. So, I think all good stuff. Chaz, should we picks and then wrap it up?
Yeah. Really quickly, though, they did leave us a tidbit on the Commander 2018 stuff. We are having another anthology stuff. So if it's anything, I don't know if I have like picks, but definitely start getting out of that sealed product. Like if you have Breed Lethality, what are you doing? Like take your $30 and move on. Like what are you holding on to this stuff for? Like I'd be out of those already.
For 2017?
There's going to be an anthology, another anthology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, get out of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should have been. I mean, $30. I mean, what are you guys doing? But yeah, little quick tidbit on the Commander 2018. So on the actual product information page, call on powerful planeswalkers and deploy their signature strategies to make sure you're the last player standing. So I'm thinking four new planeswalkers.
Yeah, as Commander I think cards. So too.
But I think they'll be multicolored. Really?
They usually are.
Time they were monocolored. I think this time they will be multicolored, and they're going to be busted. So that'll be another crazy thing we have to get to. So really quickly, I just wanted to go through I had one card that I liked that popped up actually. So it was foil. Oh geez, and Treat the Angels. My God, Mindbreak Trap. That's actually an interesting one. I actually like non-foils of this. I know foils might get a little crazy, but I think non-foils under $10. Mindbreak Trap, everyone's rushing to Storm and these non-interactive decks. I think that's a great card to be playing. It was actually, funny enough, it was a card that was actually played alongside Jace when Jace was legal and standard. That's neither here nor there. so it's kind of funny that these two cards are like recombining, you know, reuniting again after all these years. Definitely like Mindbreak Trap under $10 if you can find them. I think that's a great card that'll probably start moving up with all these non-interactive lists. The 5-0 lists are definitely setting the tempo for stuff, you know, now moving forward because Disrupting Shoal got a huge boost from that. You know, it was selling, but the 5-0 list definitely added a lot of confidence to that. I do like Mindbreak Trap. The foils are kind of taking off, but I think there's room for the non-foils for sure.
What do you think? What do we think about Pithing Needle?
I just think there's way too many printings.
Too many? Yeah.
I just think, like, Terminus, I liked because it was, like, at or around $1, and right. They kind of are already at my point of, like, $3 to $4, which was a great, you know, buy for me because I found a bunch at, like, $1 and less.
Yeah.
So, especially the Modern Masters versions. But, so that's, like, kind of, I just don't feel like Pithing Needle can get there. There wasn't that many. Like, there was a From the Vault and then a Modern Masters printing for Terminus. Like, there was a lot out there, but not too much. Pithing Needle, there's just so many.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I just wanted to get, you know, second opinion on that.
I liked – this was an interesting one for EDH purposes. And I don't know if this is going to be a card that's going to be reprinted. I don't know if we even mentioned this on the cast at some point. But Kuan – Ogre Ascendant. I saw foils bump just a little bit. I actually really like that card. It's a powerful card. It's basically Abyss on a creature, and it turns into an Abyss.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mindbreak Trap. Yeah, definitely works on Bloodbraid Elf. Yes, I like that too. Yes. Kaladesh Block is going to have rotated by the time the new core set. Yes, I think we have Dominaria, and then the fall set rotates all of Kaladesh, right? Wait, we have Dominaria, then a core set?
Yeah, we have a core set after Dominaria.
Oh my god. So yeah.
But nothing rotates until the fall.
Right. Yes. So we have Dominaria, core set, Kaladesh is still legal, Kaladesh drops, and Amonkhet Block drops in October. Late summer is gonna be gigantic standard. Yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, yeah. I still have my reject stack of like 80 Dark Intimations. No, it's actually funny. I think there's going to be another Nicole Bolas because I posted this in the writer corner.
They spoiled the core. Yeah, the core set.
Yeah, they spoiled. And we have a Tezzeret and a Nicole Bolas. So yeah, Bolas key art. Efren, we got one more chance. Please let this work.
Oh,
one last
man.
Shot. Let's go out with a bang. Dark Intimations.
I think there was. Wait a minute. Wasn't there a Dark Intimation standard 5-0 on MTGO in the standard decks, the 5-0 standard list?
I thought
there was a deck with it with Dark Intimation. Yeah, with like one copy. Yeah.
There was a single copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. In a list at 5-0, it's time.
Yeah, man.
I will literally take like 75¢ buy list at this point.
Yeah. Speaking of standard, I actually have a standard pick, believe it or not. So this card is a loser of market loser on interest, and it's Huatli, Radiant Champion. Huatli, Radiant Champion is down to like $5.
I think less.
Yeah, that's market, so you can probably get on TCG. I think Huatli, you know, when I originally saw it, I mean, it's the kind of card that right now in the environment, clearly doesn't really do anything, but it's the kind of card that has a lot of potential for future standard. I mean, $4 for a Planeswalker is never bad. And I suspect as we move into the spring, this could drop, you know, we get into a modern hype, and I think this could drop even more down to like maybe $3. I would be picking these up. I think Huatli has potential in future standard, and it's gotten so cheap. So I like Huatli as a standard pickup right now. Especially if you get a lower $3 or $4, I think it's a great buy.
Yeah. I mean, if Ajani Valiant Protector tells you anything, people will buy cheap Planeswalkers. It's kind of crazy. I definitely like that one, Tark, a lot.
Yep.
Basically under $5 for any Planeswalker just still has huge upside.
Yeah. I always look for Planeswalkers on the lead.
there's a 3-mana Jason Standard still. You know, I'm just saying.
that's true. It's and like $105. I think that's very cheap.
It's very cheap. Like, kind of dangerously cheap. Like, that. Like I still think there's some upside there.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, if it ends up doing something, the problem is it doesn't scream, none of its abilities seem like something that future sets can capitalize on, right? I think that's the issue with that Jace, is that it doesn't have anything that, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that it does necessarily that I think a new release could necessarily, but I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, I just,
there's
not,
a lot of things that
could
still
sure.
happen.
There is a lot of things that could happen. That's definitely true. That's definitely true. Yep, but something like, reason why I like something like
of the Huatli meta,
is with Huatli, you know, if tokens gets out of control, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's potential there for something. But we'll see. But yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, it's 3-mana walker. That's, you know, you can't argue with that. So
you really can't.
The other interesting thing about 3-mana walkers is they randomly show up in modern sometimes as in
they
like
do.
As like one ofs, you know, in rando lists. So yeah, I mean, these walkers that end up getting down like $3 while they're in standard, just I think they're always good to be moving it on.
Yeah. So I like Kuan. What is this guy's name? Kuan. Lost his guy. Ogre Ascendant. You got that, Guillaume? Guillaume's not even here, is he?
Kuan
Ogre Ascendant.
Yep. I'm on. I'm on Huatli Radiant Champion, which is a standard pick. My non-standard pick in wake of the unbannings is a counterspell called Delay from Future Sight.
I like that one.
I think that's really good in the format. It's been creeping up. It's about $3 now. I think there's still upside on that. That could be a $6 card. It hasn't been reprinted. So I'm on Delay. And my reserve list pick, because I got to have one this week, is super, super cheap. It's Hand of Justice from Fallen Empire. No, is it Homelands or Fallen Empires? I think it was Fallen Empires.
Is this just random?
No.
Is this a random one?
You know what? Honestly, so here's random. The thing. I was going to buy like 50 of them, not because I had intention of like manipulating the market, but Hand of Justice, if anybody who was a little kid that cracked packs of Fallen Empires, Fallen Empires was so bad that Hand of Justice was one of the few cards you could get. So it has this weird nostalgia, because when you open Fallen Empires so bad that Hand of Justice was like the best card, and then Hand of Justice was around the era when Royal Assassin was really cool, and so Hand of Justice was basically a Royal Assassin, except it didn't have to tap. You could tap other creatures. You know, it was just a fun card. It's reserve list. It's a quarter. Mm-hmm. It's a quarter. So it's going to end up being a $3 card. Not because I called it, but it's just going to end up being a $3 card. So I like Hand of Justice. I'm telling you right now, I'm probably going to go buy 50 of them, because I checked and it's literally 25 cents. There's like pages of 25 cent Hand of Justice, which is a reserveless card. I will spend, you know, $15 and just go buy a bunch of them. And that won't be buying them out. Yeah. That won't be buying them out, but I like that card. It's so cheap. So yeah, that's where I'm at this week.
I gotta agree. You know, it is crazy, and I do think you're grasping at least a little bit to echo bio, but you know what? I mean, it's also been said before. Like, I know it is kind of random, but it's still a card that is on the – it shouldn't probably be bold. Like, is it a rare?
It's a rare.
It's a rare. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, and 25 cents, you know, it's minuscule. Probably not, you know, I don't know if I'll go super deep on it. I might just stash a couple away. But I got to tell you – And Sig definitely has a pulse on this. I know a lot of folks actually have been into this. There's definitely been a move on like legends, like rares, and even not on the reserve list, like legends, Arabian Nights, just all these rares that even are not on the reserve list. I mean, when I sell a $40 playset of Teleport, like, you know, it's real. Like, there's real demand for these cards. So it really honestly doesn't matter what the card is. I mean, you seriously, like, Teleport. I mean, that card is not good. It's not a very good card.
And listen, if you want stuff that's just low basis, buy the true bulk reserve list cards. Those are the ones that ultimately have the highest upside, right? I mean, if you should go from a financial perspective and you go, all right, we're talking about cards that are never getting reprinted, that means they're guaranteed to go well. Buy the cheapest ones, because those are the ones that have the most room to grow.
I mean, you can see that happening. I mean, listen, I mean, look, Tracker. Or it was like some green card. It was like Tracker. I think it's from Oh, I forget what set it's from.
From the Dark.
Legends.
From the Dark.
The
but
Dark.
I'm pretty
the
sure,
Dark. Thank
yeah,
you.
I'm pretty sure it's played in old school though, right?
No, it is, but it was largely like not a thing for a long time. I mean, and it's you look it up and it's like, wow, that's actually like a pretty cool card. That's pretty much all it really takes.
It introduced the fight mechanic.
Yeah, the fight mechanic. And I mean, yeah. I love old school reserve list cards. I mean, I have a lot of them. So if it's old school and reserve list, I most likely have it. I mean, I have that weird, what's that? Like Sylvain. Oh, God. I can't remember the card. Is it Sylvain something?
Oh,
Sylvain?
Yeah.
Just Sylvain? From the Dark? That card is crazy. I mean, it's bad, but it's like, I want to own that card.
Yeah.
And quality is definitely important on the OS stuff. Yeah, definitely. If it was not near mint, I probably wouldn't have sold them. But people are paying a premium for arguably bad, even non-reserve list stuff. Like as long as it's from Arabian Nights, Legends, stuff like that.
Yep.
All right, Tark.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a long one, a passionate one, but I think it was overall cast. So for a Saturday, we put out a quality podcast right there, as always.
I agree.
For a Saturday. That was awesome.
So 6 months, someone saying I told you so.
Yeah, all right. It'll probably be me.
I'm glad you're admitting that.
I'm a good sport. I really am. I'm a good sport.
All right,
folks. That's going to do it. Really quick, where can they find you, Tark?
Yep, I'm on Twitter at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K. I also, you guys over at the TG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And as always, I'm over at QS.
Yep. You can find me, you can find all my work on Quiet Speculation, the podcast, insider articles, emails. I do it all. And you can find me, the best place to find me is the QS Insider Discord. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this Saturday, the 17th. Go enjoy yourself. Have a good one.
See you guys.
And take care.
Later.